What's poppin', people? It's Dante. Today we're doing Street Photography Breakdown Part 10, where I share with you five different photographs from five different locations throughout the world, breaking down the compositions, the story, and the philosophy behind my photography process, giving you the information that I wish I had when I first started getting into street photography. And so here with example number one in the playground in Mumbai, I was exploring in Dadavi, and I stumbled across this playground very spontaneously. When I enter a new location, I like to explore openly without any preconceived ideas of what I will find. And so I go with the flow. I go down one alley, I go down the next. I get invited into a home, I drink some coffee, I move to the next location. I like to wander throughout these different places I visit. And then through that wandering, I discover new things. And this playground became one of the most fruitful locations that I photographed, as there were so many children playing, there was so much energy, and it felt like one of those dream scenes. And so as I observed all of the chaos of these children playing, I had to make a couple of different compositional decisions to isolate subjects and create order from the chaos. And so first and foremost, I noticed this boy who felt like the king of the playground standing on top of the monkey bars. And so I decided, because of all the children playing on top of these monkey bars, to drop to a low angle and to isolate that subject smack dab in the center of the frame against the blue sky. In relationship to these subjects in the foreground here, from the left-hand side with the feet in the foreground, to the feet on the right-hand side and the face of the boy. And there are some very simple decisions that a photographer must make in order to create a complex layered frame. Those being the way in which you position your physical body in relationship to the subject and the background. And so by dropping to a low angle and filling the frame from the foreground to the background with these different subjects layered against that blue sky, I was able to create something with more impact. But it became very obvious to me that this sculptural element of the sort of playground itself could add another dimension, another dynamic to the frame. And so by including this frame within my frame, I was able to create these leading lines and use that yellow popping color against the blue sky. And so you can see highlighted in red here, we have the different leading lines that guide your eye throughout the composition, exposing the different subjects throughout the frame. The blue sky in the background was the perfect thing to isolate there as a stage, as a backdrop, because it really does help give these subjects room to breathe and pop into the foreground of the frame. And then on the bottom of the frame, we have three different boys there very far in the background, adding even more depth to the composition. And so the result of the photograph is this chaotic scene of this playground in Mumbai. But the real juice and the real thought that I have for you when it comes to this particular image is to go with the flow, to seriously embrace the chaos openly. Because when you're in a new place, it can be overwhelming, it can be kind of daunting. But when you go forward with curiosity and courage, you will find yourself in these situations that you can only dream of. And so one of the first things that I noticed when I arrived in Mumbai was this beautiful promenade to walk along. And so here in example number two, we have the dogs of Mumbai. And so as I was observing the beautiful sunset, walking along the promenade, I noticed a few different possibilities of making a layered photograph with these dogs. You know, there are so many dogs kind of jumping from the ledges, laying on the ground, and I could play with something here. I could sense the possibility of something here. And so first and foremost, when I observed this scene, I noticed the dog as my anchor point. And so a lot of the times when you want to make a photograph of something, it's really important to emphasize a strong, impactful moment in the foreground of the frame to draw the viewer's eye in. And so I used that dog as that visual and sort of that content that I could use as impact in the foreground of the frame, right? And so we have that dog that's filling 1/4 of the composition, as you can see on the top left-hand side of the frame, gazing out towards the owner. In the middle of the frame, we have another man who's gazing back towards that man and adds another layer to the image. On the right-hand side, we have some more elements going on, from the dog owner holding the dog treats to the dog sleeping on the bench. And then finally, we have a couple of different subjects on the background of the frame. We have the woman there sitting on the bench next to the dog, and there's another dog actually on the ledge behind her as this woman is sitting next to another dog. And so we have lots of dogs throughout the frame, 1, 2, 3. We have lots of different human elements, 1, 2, 3, 4. And we have the simple gesture of the hands holding the dog food in relationship to that dog that's prominent in the foreground. And so in the background, we have that misty, foggy sky, as we have that beautiful horizon there on the bottom of the frame with the skyline. We have some leading lines from the bench, and we have a very clean separation between the foreground, middle ground, and background. And you know, this is something I seek to achieve on the streets, is to create something that's visually beautiful and easy to read as a filled frame, right? So when you fill the frame with different elements throughout the composition, you don't want to just clutter a million different things going on, but you want to synthesize the content, the moment, the subject, with the formal elements of composition, which allows these different subjects to breathe. And so by dropping to a low angle and separating these subjects from the sky, I was able to create something that's pleasing to the eye. And so here we have the result of the photograph of the dogs of Mumbai. Moving on to example number 3, we have coffee in Jericho. And so, similar to my first idea with going with the flow and embracing the unknown, I believe that it's important for you to have the adventure of a lifetime. You know, the adventure is just outside your window. All you have to do is go. You know, when I traveled back to Jerusalem, or just Israel generally, I went back after studying. I studied abroad for 6 months in Jerusalem in Hebrew University. And then I decided to return in the summer, and I volunteered on a kibbutz for 1 month. I have to sneeze. Okay, I'm not going to sneeze. I went to volunteer on a kibbutz, and I thought, okay, I'll go volunteer on a kibbutz for a few months. Maybe I can go back to Israel, make some more pictures. But I, after 1 month, didn't really enjoy my time on the kibbutz. I wasn't finding much more opportunity there to make pictures. And so in the middle of the night, after a month of volunteering on a kibbutz, I packed up my bags and I took the road all the way from the north of Haifa to Jericho. And I just left without notice. I just left the kibbutz and I arrived around midnight in Jericho, you know, and I was just in some like bodega, just like in the side of the road. And I was like, guys, where can I sleep? Everything's closed. And then I went and knocked on the door of the hostel nearby that allowed me to volunteer there and stay with, you know, free room and board. But I would volunteer and basically make the beds, clean the floors. They provided food each morning. And I got to live alongside this Palestinian family. I spent a couple of weeks traveling all throughout Jericho, sleeping in mosques. I was learning about Islam. And I spent all of my time with this group of brothers. And this adventure was very spontaneous, and it was something that came through my gut instinct to leave the kibbutz and enter Jericho. And so I just wanted to share the behind-the-scenes story of how I got into these kind of situations. I'm a solo traveler. I go with my sort of intuition. I don't really plan much. And so as I would travel around Jericho during this time, I would just spend a lot of time just hanging out with some guys, hanging out with the group, you know, going onto rooftops. They would show me their pigeon coops. And so each day I would actually eat pigeon alongside a group of brothers, and we would share on one plate, and each person got a corner of the plate, and you would share alongside pigeon, rice, potatoes, and maybe some vegetable, and you would share together eating off of the plate. And so here we have the pigeon coop, and pigeon is one of the most common meats that you'll find that the Palestinians eat. And so every household essentially has a pigeon coop on the roof. And so I'm sitting on top of a pigeon coop, I'm drinking some strong black coffee, and so I plugged my hand in the foreground, and I made this decision as I watched the pigeons unfold in the sky, as I wanted to try to make a relationship between my hand and the coffee cup and the pigeons up above. And so we have on the right-hand side the man gazing out towards the pigeons, which adds more interest. It guides the viewer's eye to that background of the pigeons in flight in relationship to the coffee in my hand, and we have the result of the photograph. You know, there's this kind of funny joke I like with this photo that's maybe stupid or not that obvious, but it almost looks like the pigeon on the bottom kind of poops on the cup with the splatter that's on the side. But it's a very fun photo. It's something that reminds me of my adventure in Jericho. I appreciate the use of my hand in the frame. I think it's a little bit different and something interesting that I don't necessarily see a lot in street photography. And so I decided to just include it spontaneously in the moment because, you know, a lot of the times I'm looking to layer together the foreground, middle ground, background. And I'll never forget in this moment when I was just sitting there drinking the coffee, I was looking at this beautiful scene unfold and I was like, wow, I could make a beautiful photograph of this moment. However, I only have this one guy that I'm hanging out with. I don't have a second subject. So I just plugged my hand there in the foreground and made this frame. And so here we have example number four, the Philadelphia bus stop. This is my textbook example of how I use layering in street photography. And so right off the bat, I was interested in the light at this scene. And so I was drawn to this beam of light casted upon the pole here, separating the bus stop. And so I honed in on that rectangular shape of that strip of light. And I could sense the possibility of a photograph due to the light and shadow play and the strong looming light and shadows here. And so I made sure to make relationships between the foreground and the background right off the bat. And so this is an example of me working back to front in layering. And so I plugged in on the left-hand side, highlighted in that red square, that sign, that circular sign on the left-hand side. There's that SEPTA sign. And so I plugged that in against the blue sky as my anchor point, as a visual element, as a sort of anchor point in the background to work off of, right? I used that sign as my sweet spot and then angled my body in relationship to the light and the background. And so that was my anchor point. And so I think ultimately when you want to practice layering, another tip is to, you don't always have to work back to front like this. I did in this particular location, right? I set my background and then waited for the subjects in the foreground. But I also believe that it's important to find a choke point, to find a place where there's potential. And so bus stops are full of potential. There's people waiting for the bus. There's people getting on and off of the bus. There's people walking on the sidewalk behind the bus stop. There's just potential at bus stops. You know, it's very mundane situations. It's a very mundane place to photograph, but there is potential here and the light was there. And so everything kind of aligned naturally, as we have on the right hand side, this man who fell into the shadow area as a perfect silhouette. All that was left for me to do was then wait for this man who was coming along the sidewalk in the background to enter the light with his gaze looking downward. And so we have the result of the composition here, using all of the leading lines and the different buildings in the background to fill the frame and really set the stage initially, working back to front. Once again, I basically had my sort of composition set up, ready to go, and then all I really needed to wait for was that subject entering the light. You know, I had the potential of that man entering the shadow area and creating a silhouette. That was something I was aware of. I was using him as my sort of anchor as well, just on the right hand side, waiting for that subject to run into the light, and then plugging everything together here from the foreground, middle ground to the background. We have this very simple scene here from Philadelphia's bus stop on JFK. Okay, finally, we have example number five. We have the Palestinian conflict photo where I was photographing on the front lines of conflict between Israel and Palestine. So this was a very striking moment to photograph. I spent a lot of time photographing conflict throughout my six-month journey studying abroad. I was naturally thrown into these situations. It wasn't necessarily something I sought after. I remember the first time photographing conflict, I was taking a bus to the north. I think I was traveling to Jenin, and we wound up having to get off of the bus in Calandia because there were clashes, and I spontaneously arrived at a conflict scene. However, this conflict scene was in Jericho, and the people actually knew me at this time, and so I had the permission to make photographs very intimately. And so I actually wound up making this photograph on the front lines of the conflict. This is as close to the action as you can get, standing behind a concrete barrier as the Israelis are shooting live ammunition, rubber bullets, tear gas at me, and I'm just there and I'm prepared with my camera photographing this masked man. And so of course the focal point and the interest of this image is that man with the mask on. He has the tattered mask and his eyes are being revealed through the mask. And so that's really what I emphasized here in this composition, was that masked man. He was that striking, fearful looking subject to use, right? We have the focus distance. I believe when I made this picture, I'm as close as possible, right? This is as close as my camera can pretty much focus at this particular moment. And so if your photos aren't good enough, you're probably not good, close enough. And I also believe that a photograph that is successful and strong typically requires a bit of risk. And I'm not saying you have to go out there and photograph war, but there is something to be said about risk taking in the realm of photography and following forward with courage to make a stronger frame. And so by getting close and filling that right-hand side of the frame, we have one third of the composition filled with visual and emotional interest, with this man's eyes gazing back at you through his tattered mask. In relationship to the man with the Palestinian keffiyeh on the left-hand side, filling that part of the frame against that cloudy smoke formed from that tire that's on fire there in the background. And so we have a third subject who's sitting down, crouching below, ducking behind the concrete wall, and he is in a silhouette there, kind of just crushed in the shadow area. In relationship to the strong, black, clouded smoke that's forming from that burning rubber from the tire, we have a very elegant background that is very chaotic, and it's that smoke screen that's frequently seen and used during these conflict situations between the Israelis and the Palestinians. And so I separated that subject on the left-hand side from that smoke in the behind him. And so we have the result of the composition being this very striking, sort of timeless frame. You know, the one thing that I find to be kind of interesting is that, you know, it's actually a really simple photo, right? There's so much chaos going on, but there's a few different elements that come together that make the photo strong. We have the mask, the eyes, the keffiyeh, the smoke, the fire, the blue sky. You know, we have just a very simple frame out of this chaos. And, you know, I really do believe that's the goal. It's to go into the unknown, to embrace the chaos head first and then put order to it. But that requires you to go out there onto the front lines of life with courage at the forefront. And then I believe the photographs you make become a reflection of that courage. And so I encourage you to go out there and to explore the world, to see new places, to go on the adventure of your lifetime. I think that's the lesson with today's video, is that there are so many things to do, to see, to explore, and to photograph. And all you really need to do is open your door and pick up your camera, take a train, a plane, a bus, go for a walk down a new alleyway, go to a new place. You know, there's so many things to see and to photograph. And, you know, that excites me as a street photographer, is the open world and the endless expanse of our canvas. You know, and there's just so much life out there to enjoy and to photograph and to experience. And yeah, you come home with not only these photographs, but these memories and these very enriching experiences that stand the test of time and that travel with you throughout your life and give you wisdom and knowledge about life. And you get to experience all the different complexities of things. And I think it really does set your perspective and changes your worldview in a way. And so, if you enjoyed watching today's video, please feel free to check out DanteSisifo.com. I've got some resources on there. You can check out my video on my Start Here page on how I mastered street photography. I have a free PDF with my contact sheets. I have the ultimate guide to mastering the Ricoh GR. I've got, how to conquer your fears of street photography. There's a couple different blog posts that I have highlighted at the top of my page. Feel free to visit my YouTube channel. It's just youtube.com/streetphotography. You can find my playlist from the behind the scenes POV of Mumbai. I've got a different playlist with these different lectures I've been making. And yeah, just enjoy the website, the YouTubes. And I'll see you in the next video. Peace. Thanks for watching.